Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Let's open up in a word of prayer and dive into this well-known chapter of John that many people are familiar with, but not all. And I know that God has a word for each one of us. I've heard this chapter many times, and as I was preparing for this and studying for this, the Lord revealed so much to me. So I pray that He does the same for you this morning. So let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we just pause before we dive into Your word, and we acknowledge that You are the source of the word, that You have given us the best gift of all, of Jesus, the living word. And I just thank You and praise You that we have access to Your word, Lord. Your word, which is Holy Spirit infused, that can shape our lives, change our lives, empower our lives. So God, we just ask that the Holy Spirit would guide our thoughts and open our hearts to what You would have to say to each one of us. I pray that You would speak through me the power that You have to share in this important chapter of the Bible. So God, we're excited for what You have for us today. And we thank You for this opportunity to study together and to sharpen each other and to just be held accountable to each other. So Lord, thanks that You're in it and You're because of it. And we're so blessed to pray all of these things in Your powerful name. Amen. All right, well, we are in John 15 this morning, and the title in my Bible, I'm reading from the NIV, the New International Version, is The Vine and the Branches. So let's begin. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's take a look and consider these well-known verses in the Bible. And some of you might be familiar with the acronym, since I'm getting known for the acronyms, Bible, which they say, B-I-B-L-E, is basic instruction before leaving earth. And this chapter is certainly Bible, because you have to get the context. Two chapters ago in John 13, the Last Supper occurs and Judas leaves to betray Jesus. And then begins the final teachings of Jesus before he is crucified. If you have a red letter Bible, which if you don't know what that is, all the words of Jesus are printed in red. And if you have a red letter Bible, you know that the entire chapter 15 is all red. Every word is Jesus's Bible, his basic instruction before leaving earth. He will be crucified in less than 24 hours. All of the words of Jesus are important. Hear me when I say that. But these being his final words to his disciples before his death are critical and noteworthy. So let's see what he says. And his disciples, which were his students and followers, are about to become apostles. They're transitioning from students and followers to messengers, to those who are being sent out. So let's dive in and see what Jesus has to say to them. Verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Jesus reveals yet once again to his disciples, who at times are like me, a little dense, they don't get it. Jesus for 3 years has been revealing to them who he is, but he has to state it yet one more time. And he says, I am the true vine. I want to make sure you realize who I am before I leave you. And because they're about to transition to be the leaders of the mission, Jesus is confirming, he's making sure, he's not leaving this earth without confirming that they know his true identity and that the Father is the gardener. Although Israel was viewed as the vine in numerous Old Testament texts, Jesus is the true vine who fulfills God's expectation for his people. If we want to know what God's expectations are for us, look to Jesus. A growing vine needs care. And so Jesus identifies God the Father as the farmer or the gardener. God is the one who does the planting, watering, and pruning of the vine. In her article, The Spirituality of Gardening, Christine Aroney-Sine writes, God's first act after completing creation was to plant a garden, the Garden of Eden. And in the first sighting of Jesus after the resurrection, he is mistaken by Mary Magdalene for the gardener, because that is precisely what he is, the gardener of the new creation. When I read that, I thought that that was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I never thought of that when she mistakes Jesus as the gardener, that that's what God is. The triune God is our gardener. As stated, the grapevine vine was symbolic for Israel, and the name Israel means one who prevails with God, or let God prevail. Jesus is about to let God accomplish his perfect rescue plan of love for us to prevail, to triumph. I can't even begin to imagine what a hard and difficult obedience it was to have to go to the cross. But Jesus remained in the vine. He remained in God's perfect will. He was, as they say, all in. Be reminded of his words in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but yours be done. He allowed the master gardener to have control and final control of his life. In chapter 15 of John, verse 2 continues, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch does not bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Excuse me. The gardener, AKA the father, addresses every branch. There's no branch untouched. He is either cutting off or pruning every branch. Those bearing no fruit are cut off. Those bearing fruit are pruned so that they can bear even more fruit. A fruitful vine represented obedient Israel, while an empty vine or a diseased vine represented Israel's disobedience. I know it's only a little after 6 a.m., but we have to ask ourselves, which type of branch are we? You are here, so I'm assuming you are not cut off. So get ready for some pruning, because you're one or the other. God wants to chop off, lop off, prune every part of your walk that is preventing you and me from being extravagantly fruitful. I was thinking of our yard and thinking of the trees that have sucker branches that need to be cut off so the tree is healthy and isn't open to disease. What suckers do you and I have that need to be eliminated, pruned, that are sucking the Jesus out of you and keeping you from producing fruit? I read online, just as a grapevine must do, the main purpose of our lives is to produce fruit. Even more fundamental of a lesson, you must never forget that the owner of the vineyard is in charge, in control, and focused on receiving as much fruit as possible from his vineyard. In my Life Application Bible, a note states, fruit is not limited to soul winning. In this chapter, answered prayer, joy, and love are mentioned as fruit. Galatians 5, 22 to 23 shares the fruit of the Spirit, which includes love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8 describes additional fruit qualities of Christian character. So there are plenty of opportunities in God's word to study what is this fruit that God wants from us? Because why does he want this fruit? God wants to transition us to more mature followers, just like Jesus was preparing his disciples so that they would produce a bountiful harvest of fruit as leaders in the mission. He doesn't leave us hanging, though. he kind of describes what this fruit is, but he also lets us know how this is done. Who wants more fruit in their life? Well, pay attention. This is how you do it. In many versions of the Bible, the word abide is used. And in the first 10 verses of John 15, it's used 10 times. Looking at the Greek roots of the word, we see that abide means to dwell, remain. And that's the word that was used in the NIV version that I read. Dwell, remain, be present, and to be held and kept. Abiding addresses our posture and place. Where are we in proximity to Christ? Verse 5 clearly states where the Lord wants us to be and why. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain, if you abide, if you dwell in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You won't produce any fruit, the fruit of the Bible that we're talking about, apart from Jesus. And I was thinking about it. My husband and I have a pretty big yard with tons of trees and wild vines and growth everywhere. And to keep it under control, it is so much work. We can't keep up with it. And I wish I had a gardener. but being a branch in the Lord's garden, I am reminded in this chapter that the principal labor I need to do is to just stay in the garden. Like my personal garden is a ton of work. In God's garden, the Lord's doing the work. All I have to do is sit in it and be close to Him and receive what He has. As I said, God is the gardener. He does all the work of pruning, planting, and watering. He wants me to dwell, abide, remain in the garden, and not only will produce fruit because of him, I will share in his glory and enjoy the fruit. And I was just sharing with a friend that during this gift-giving season, I'm tongue-tied this morning. I think I need to drink some water. I need to be well-watered like God's garden. And I was reminded sharing with a friend that during this gift-giving season, I love to give gifts. And many years ago, I read an article that still speaks to me. And that is, as a gift giver, when you give a gift, you are in control, you're in charge. And I'll be honest with you, that's a position I like. I like to be in control, I like to be the gift giver. But to receive a gift, you need to humble yourself in order to receive it. To abide on the vine, to remain on the vine, we need to humble ourselves and allow the Lord to be the gift giver, to allow the Lord to be in control no matter what the circumstances are in our life. Also, during this Christmas season, I'm reminded of one of my personal favorite role models and heroes in the Bible, because for me, she is an example of remaining and abiding on the vine and allowing God to be in control. Mary, the mother of Jesus, triumphed and prevailed when visited by an angel and told that she would give birth to a son, even though she was a virgin. Listen to her response to the angel once again. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Now, that's abiding on the vine. And that's beautiful fruit about to come from her. And it totally glorified the Lord. She's my hero. I want to be like her. And even more so, want to be like Jesus. In verses 8 through 11, Jesus explains, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, You will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Ooh, complete joy. Do we need that in this crazy, chaotic world and all that's going on around us and in our own personal lives? And of course, you know, I have to have a visual aid. So I have here some very large grapes. And but I on this one particular, I guess, vine, there were all different size grapes. And I thought to myself, would I want this puny little grape or this big one next to it? You know, I want it all. I want that complete joy. I want everything that God has to offer, all the gifts, all the amazing fruit. And currently, Pastor Brennan is preaching a Christmas series on hope, love, and peace. Who doesn't want those things? And here Jesus is sharing the recipe to that hope, love, and peace. Look at all of the repeated words in this chapter so far: abide, remain, fruit, obedience, aka keeping commands, love, joy. The key to living this beautiful life is to stay close to Jesus no matter what the circumstances. And we all know that the circumstances for the disciples wasn't all beautiful, and you know, as they say, rainbows and unicorns, or whatever that expression is, they had some difficult situations in their lives. And verses 12 through 17 continue with a little bit more heat to Jesus's final lesson, his sermon, his words to his disciples, as he begins with a command and ends with a command. Verse 12 says, "My command is this: love each other as I have loved you." Verse 17, "This is my command: love each other." It's not a suggestion. It's not like, oh, this would be better if you did this. It's a commandment. It's a commandment. And two notes in my Life Application Bible help us understand Jesus's definition of love, this unconditional love that we're just so blessed to receive from the Lord. And these notes say, we are to love each other as Jesus loved us, and he loved us enough to give his life for us. We may not have to die for someone, but there are other ways to practice sacrificial love, or as I would say, die to myself, because my flesh is pretty strong. I need to die to myself. Listening, helping, encouraging, giving. Think of someone in particular who needs this kind of love today. Give all the love you can, and then try to give a little bit more. That's what Jesus did for us. That's his definition of love. And then another note in my Bible states, because Jesus Christ is Lord and Master, he should call us servants. Instead, he calls us friends in verse 15. How comforting and reassuring to be chosen as Christ's friends. Because he is Lord and Master, we owe him our unqualified obedience. But most of all, Jesus asks us to obey him because we love him. You know, many people obey the Lord out of fear, but God says he wants us to obey him out of love for him. I ask on a daily basis, Lord, fill me up with your Holy Spirit. Fill me up with your love, because I can't always love like that. But I'm reminded in Romans 5:5 that when I can't love like that, God will love others through us. Rely on his love. Remember, he's the gardener. He's going to do the work. He'll fill you up with that love instead of us trying to produce it. Stay close to the Father. Ask him to fill you up with his love. And this commandment to his disciples to love one another is followed by a warning of hatred and persecution. Oh my goodness, we're going from amazing love and abiding to now he's saying, guess what? You're going to be hated and persecuted. And the reason that they would experience this hatred and persecution was because of their association with him. Jesus explains in verse 21 why. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. Years ago, I write in my Bible, there's notes all over it. It's like a scrapbook of my life and my relationship with the Lord. And it's actually very helpful because I'm a forgetful person. And when I write what the Lord did, I'm reminded. And years ago, I wrote in my Bible next to that verse, pray that they will come to know Jesus. The people that don't understand the mission, the people who are producing hatred instead of love, we need to pray for them. And the more you and I abide in Jesus, the more they will come to know the Lord. But even still, as Pastor Brendan says, haters are going to hate. And Jesus says in verse 25, but this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. Oh, praise God. The chapter doesn't, end there. God gives us two more verses that fill us with hope. And Jesus offers the hope of the Holy Spirit. And those verses talk about the counselor, the spirit of truth. And a final note in my life application states, Jesus uses two names for the Holy Spirit, counselor and the spirit of truth. The word counselor conveys the helping, encouraging, and strengthening work of the Spirit. And the Spirit of Truth points to the teaching, illuminating, and reminding work of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit ministers to both the head and the heart, and both dimensions are important. We need these reminders to speak to both our head and heart because Jesus says, love one another, but you're living in this hate-filled world. And one other acronym that I shared several soaps ago was one from Pastor Brendan about life, living intentionally for eternity. That's what Jesus did. That's how he stayed, remained in the vine, abided. He was living for eternity. And the other day I was reading in my Jesus Calling devotional. And I love this final line of December 10th's devotion. It says, remember that you have an eternity of trouble-free living awaiting you in heaven. Ooh, let me say that one more time. Remember that you have an eternity of trouble-free living awaiting you in heaven. Jesus certainly knew that. He had a trouble-filled life that ended in crucifixion, probably the most horrific death that we could ever imagine. And he willingly did that out of obedience to his Father and love for us because he knew that he was going to be resurrected and spend eternity at the right hand, the authoritative side of our Father. So when you're having a hard time struggling, remember to live intentionally for eternity. Let that trouble-free living in the presence, eternal abiding, dwelling, remaining in Jesus, encourage you to keep going. And then to, even do what's even harder, as this devotion in James 1:2 says, consider it pure joy. Remember we talked about earlier in this chapter, my joy will be made complete. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. It's this balance that fortunately the love and joy and peace and abiding in Jesus way outweigh the troubles of this world, especially when we consider eternity. And I was trying to like apply this to my life. And I was thinking of, you all know, many of you know that I've lived and served in the Dominican Republic for years. And when I first got there was only 2 hours of electricity every single day, if we were lucky. And they call electricity la luz, which means the light. And every time the electricity went on, if it went on, you would hear a cheer from the whole entire community. And they say, La luz llegó, the light arrived. Everybody would be clapping and cheering. And for 2 hours, they'd run the water, they'd fill their water buckets, and they were so incredibly excited. And then that was 35 years ago. Then, as they've developed, as the country's matured, and they've received more fruit, more resources, the light has gotten longer. The supply of electricity is daily now. And about 3 years ago, when we went down there, they came running up to me and said, Anna, we have 24/7. And I was like, 24/7? What are you talking about? They had arrived in their community, in their development of their country, that they now had electricity 24/7. That's like our walk with the Lord. We start, it's not like very few of us are going to have a Damascus Road experience where it's boom, 24/7 abiding and dwelling and going forth. But God is so gracious. He's that light that's going to continue to build our supply, build our fruit, so that we go from these puny little grapes to really big grapes. And so I want to encourage you, keep seeking that light, la luz, until it arrives 24/7. And to be honest with you, I know it won't be 24/7 for me until I arrive to heaven, but I'm not going to stop allowing the Lord's development and fruit production in my life to stop growing until I have reached that point. So may God's word encourage you today, and let's just close in a word of prayer because it is 6:30. I want to honor your time and allow you to go out to be that light, to be that fruit for someone, and to allow the Lord to delight in your service to Him to show others who He is. So let's pray. God, there is so much in this chapter. Would you sort it out for us? We know it's important because it was your final words to your disciples. So, Lord, would you just please choose a little bit of this chapter and help us to apply it to our lives, and then choose a little more, choose a little more. Keep pruning us, keep growing us, keep maturing us until we are 24/7, Lord. Our heart's desire today is to abide, remain, dwell next to you, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing. So would you just continue to reveal yourself? Allow this gift of the Holy Spirit, the counselor, the spirit of truth, to bring revelation so that we can see you everywhere, Lord, and abide in you. God, I thank you for each person on this call this morning that made the effort to get up early, Lord, and to hear me stumble over my words because I am certainly not a morning person. But Lord, despite my imperfections, you can bear fruit from your word. This is your word. So, Master Gardener, we thank you for your work. We thank you for what you're doing. And we're so blessed to pray all these things in your name. Amen. Have a blessed day, everyone. And thank you so much.